Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Max Living Podcast. This is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin. And this week, we're excited to talk about the topic is, why are my kids so sick?
Right.
And we really hope that's not where you're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is, we're speaking into, there's some moments in life where you just, you know, maybe you've been in a back-to-back season of your kids being sick frequently, or maybe intermittently you kind of have this where it pops up every now and then that, you know, hey, my kids get a little bit sick, and how do you deal with it? And what does that look like? And, you know, I was even having a conversation last night. We, my daughter's ballet class at our dance class with another mom. And, you know, she was kind of saying like, hey, like my kids are generally healthy, but just in case every so often when something happens, you know, like that sort of thing. And it's like, what do you do then?
Yeah. And so I think that this, there's a couple things that are implied here, and I don't want to make assumptions, but if you're a parent and you're like, man, my kids get sick. Number one, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, are you sick or are you just uncomfortably healthy?
Right.
So just because we're expressing symptoms doesn't mean we're sick.
Right.
Remember, kids have to develop immune responses.
Right.
And even though at birth they're born and mom's nursing them ideally, and she's sharing some immunity, that child still has to build its own microbiome. It still has to build its own immune system. Therefore, the reason kids crawl on the ground and the reason why God created us to pick up things and put them in our mouths and all this, and kids are, you know, I've seen kids lick the bottom of a tennis shoe before. They're building that immune function. They're building that microbiome. They're going to have symptoms. They're going to have fevers. They're going to get runny noses.
Right.
And that's part of building a healthy immune response. So we're not talking about that today. We're talking about when your child is constantly fighting something off and you're having the same recurring problem over and over again. So allergies, asthma, ear infections, these recurring problems that parents are like, man, all these other kids, yeah, they might get, you know, a little cough or a cold here and there, but my child just continuously has these problems. So today we're going to challenge you, and this is going to be a little bit of a mindset shift. And that mindset shift is simply, you know, is your child sick, or is it that your child is in an environment that is not conducive to them being healthy and developing this healthy response to things? And there's a little responsibility here as parents.
There's a lot of responsibility here, right? It's you got the whole thing, yeah. Right? Like we're responsible for it.
And so I want to proceed with a little bit of caution that if we say something today that challenges you, please don't get upset, but instead, or get upset, but get upset for your child, not at us.
Right. Have a holy discontent about it. And I do, I love what you're talking about here, because it's the mindset of where you're positioning this, like, where are you viewing this from? And we have to, like, that's the first most important thing we can address is your kids are healthy. I don't care if your kid has been in the hospital 87 times this year. Your kid is healthy. Your children are healthy. We come from a position of health always, right? But is their lifestyle contributing to a situation where they are always bumping up against something and always having to find something off? And I love what you talked about here. We've talked about this in previous episodes. Go back, go in the podcast, get in the history, dig through some of the episodes where we've talked about on health, where we've talked specifically about where
that health is the natural state.
Health, right? Is the natural
state. I know where you're going. The health is the natural state, that we are designed to function and heal, that there's more going right in your body right now than there is going wrong. So even if your child does have recurrent illness, the reality is there's more going right. There's more processes in their body going right than there are wrong. That health is the natural state. That if we can find where this interference is coming from, then we can correct the cause of this problem. Yes. So as we dive into this, we really have to talk about, why do kids get sick? Right. So there's really only a couple of reasons. Number one, we're either not doing the things that we need to be doing to support health.
Yep. Yep.
Or number two, we're doing things that are interfering with health.
Yes.
It really only boils down to those two. We're either not doing things that support health. For instance, you know, if you're not feeding your child, they're going to starve. That's right. Not doing something to support health. You can only live for so long without food.
Right.
So we're either not doing things to support health.
Right. And can we call out the elephant in the room here too, where a lot of times people will say, oh, I'm holistic, or oh, I follow like natural healthcare. And their version of natural healthcare is just saying no to drugs, surgery, vaccine, you know, whatever that is, but not doing anything else. That's not holistic healthcare. That's not engaging in this vitalistic model of what we're doing. Like,
that's actually no healthcare.
That's no healthcare. Yeah. You're just doing nothing. Yeah. Just because you don't call it holistic healthcare.
Just because you don't participate in pharmaceutical medicine, which, you know, I would largely agree with that, doesn't mean that you're actually doing anything to support health.
Right.
And so, you know, we talk about chiropractic and we talk about the five essentials as it's a better way.
Yep.
It's the other way. It's supporting health, not treating disease. But sometimes people are like, yeah, I don't believe in medication. I don't like to go this pharmaceutical route, but they're not doing anything proactively to actually support health. And so, yeah, I think it's a great point. Now it's getting back to, like, if one of the things is you're not supporting health, then the other is, are you intentionally or unintentionally doing things that are actually creating interference? So I think we should actually start here, because I think this is the thing that, number one, I think we got to clear this out first. So often when patients come into our office, like, the kids are getting adjusted, we want their nervous systems healthy, but there's all this stuff that they're currently doing that's an interference to healing.
Right.
So sometimes I have a sit down with the parents and I'm like, hey, we're going to start getting them adjusted. Their nervous system is going to function better. But here are some things that are a direct interference to their healing. We got to get these out of the way.
Yes.
So there's pretty much four big offenders.
Yep.
The four big offenders are all areas where we interfere with what the body is trying to do.
Yes.
I think the easiest one and probably the most common one is food. What are we putting in our body?
Right. And it's an interesting one because you have to eat every day.
Yep.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, there's a small parameter of, hey, I do intermittent fasting, or I'm doing a water cleanse, or blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yes. I hear you on that. But generally speaking, you got to eat.
Yep.
Right. You can't live the rest of your life without eating.
And children, your kids probably aren't intermittent fasting.
Yeah. And let's not go down that road with your kids with intermittent fasting and water fasting and all that stuff. So your kids got to eat every day. We got to put food in their stomachs. So that is a big piece of this. Is your food, and there's it's a double-edged sword here. Is your food creating life, or is it toxic, and is it destroying life? And I think, like, that language is harsh, right? And it should be, because I don't mess around with it. Like, when I'm looking at my kids and other parents will kind of be like, hey, loosen up a little bit. Why, like, let them have this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let them have this fast food stuff. Why aren't they allowed to, you know, Hudson, our oldest guy, they did a cereal challenge in youth group this week, and he got to taste some cereal for the first time that he's never eaten. And that's okay. He had it one night at youth group. You know, he's not going to fall over and die from that. But on a regular routine basis, I truly do look at what I'm putting in his body as either destroying life or giving life. And it's really that binary when you're doing it over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And this, you know, I mean, this is a biblical concept that in Deuteronomy, God talks about, I've set before you life and death today. Blessing, both blessings and cursings. So choose life that you and your child and your children may live.
Right.
And so if we look at everything, if we really truly looked at everything as either life or death, blessing or cursing, when we eat, are we eating life-giving food, or are we eating life interfering, you know, food that interferes with life?
Right.
And I would challenge you as a parent to, like, number one, if your child is constantly sick, what are you putting in their bodies? Are you giving them life-giving food? Are you eating mostly raw? Are you eating pasture-raised meats? Are you avoiding processed foods? That's the key. So getting on a max living nutrition plan, particularly the core plan or the advanced plan, looking into those and saying, all right, no longer, we're putting our foot down here, no longer do we put things in our body that interfere with life. So number two on the list, and this is, you know, going in order of probably most obvious to least obvious for some people. Number two, I think, is just what is in your day-to-day environment?
Yes.
Are there chemicals around your home? Uh-huh. Are you using bleach? Are you spraying Febreze? Right. Are there, and some people may not know this, but these are chemicals that interfere. There's higher amounts of allergies when people use these chemicals. Right. There's sensitivities to these chemicals. Some of these chemicals are known hormone disruptors and known cancer causing agents.
Right.
This week we were at church and, you know, yes. we're sitting there at church and I'm because of my past history, I had a lot of issues with chemicals and I had really bad skin issues and all this stuff. And I just think my body's kind of sensitive now from all like other things that have antibiotic usage, et cetera. One of the things I'm really sensitive to are synthetic fragrances.
Right.
And so we're sitting in church and I start getting this weird headache, and the headache that I'm getting is the exact headache I get every time I'm around like really strong perfumes or air fresheners. And I'm like, what is going on? And I look to my side and there's an air freshener literally plugged in like right under my nose,
right next to you, right in, on the wall.
Right next to me. So I just reached over and just unplugged it. And, you know, again, it just, I tell that story not to rat out my church that they're using, you know, synthetic air fresheners or whatever, but I just want you guys to know how serious of a problem that can be.
Absolutely. And imagine this, imagine you're a kid and you're waking up and first thing you're doing is you're sitting up out of bed and you've slept in sheets all night that had chemical detergents and chemical fabric softeners and have just been soaking that into your skin all night long. And you wake up and breathing it in. Right. And you walk into the bathroom and you brush your teeth with some chemical toothpaste that adds another layer of toxicity. And then maybe the water that's coming out of your faucet isn't, you know, you don't have a whole house filter. So you have fluoride toxicity coming out of your water.
And you're taking a shower and you're using.
Exactly.
You know, shampoos with, you know, parabens and all these different chemicals, you know, PCBs.
And your child is just getting peppered with toxicity. Yeah. And they walk downstairs to eat breakfast and they got Fruityo Loopy Cinnamon Bon Cheery something.
Whatever the cereal is.
Right. And they don't have a chance. Like, God bless them. And then they go to school for, you know, 7.5 hours a day and walk home and they haven't seen a ray of sunshine except for a maybe 20-minute recess. Like, that is a backwards way of life. And so unfortunately, that is the way that we're living life right now. Yeah. And we have to dissect that. We have to dive into it. So that's what we're talking about. Listen, the personal care products, the environment that your child is in, that might sound overwhelming listening to it, right? But it's just one step at a time.
Yeah. And their lateral moves, their lateral moves, buying different toothpaste. It's not a big switch, you know, switching from air fresheners to using maybe an essential oil diffuser.
Right.
Or just getting rid of the air fresheners.
Right.
And you know, these are things that are, most of them are lateral moves. They shouldn't be overwhelming.
Right.
Now, maybe like you're like, I wouldn't even know what products to buy because we use Downy and we use Colgate and we use... Right. Like, yep, P&G probably loves you.
Yes.
However, P&G, unfortunately, isn't in the healthcare business.
Right.
They're
right.
in the profit business.
Right.
And
right.
so we have to really look at this as, you know, we have to, you know, be guardians for our family in this scenario. So the next two, I think these next two are maybe a little less obvious on the surface because they're under the guise of healthcare.
Right.
But the next one is simply antibiotic usage. If your kids have ever been on an antibiotic, ever, and I'm talking all the way back to birth, then there's a good chance that their entire gut flora is missing.
Right.
Because antibiotics just wipe out all the good bacteria in our body as well as the bad bacteria.
Right.
So they do a really good job of wiping out bad bacteria.
Yep.
But they also do a really good job of wiping out all the good bacteria. And if your child has been on a round of antibiotics or two or 10, like I was as a kid, then you have to work at rebuilding that gut flora.
Right.
So number one, our goal is to never use antibiotics again. And ideally, if we need to, we can, you know, use other things. There, you know, there's plant-based choices out there. There's other alternatives. There's homeopathic remedies, et cetera. But the second part is if you have used antibiotics in the past, then the goal would be that we rebuild that gut flora.
Right.
What does that mean? There's, you know, probiotics that kids can take.
Right.
There are detox systems that we can take. We use a couple different products within our Max Living offices to help repair this gut flora and reestablish this gut flora in
kids. There are functional nutrition and health metabolics programs in most of our Max Living offices across the nation now. And so you can go right there to your doctor and you can talk about, hey, let's set aside a time. Let's get together, sit down for a consultation with your specialist in that area. And let's talk exactly about how I can help repair anybody, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your kids, anybody who has taken an antibiotic needs to have their gut repaired.
Yeah. And you're going to get a deeper look into your child's health through something like that than you're going to get from the pediatrician, because the pediatrician, typically they're not running a bunch of tests on kids, but we can actually look at all these metabolomics, you know, biomarkers and right. see like, are your kids nutritionally deficient? Do they not have the right nutrients to support their immune system? Right. Are they not absorbing things? Is there bad bacteria backing up in their gut? Do they have yep. leaky gut already because of antibiotics? So, you know, antibiotic usage, you know, I think most people understand this nowadays, and most people know back in the day, it was like we would run to get antibiotics. And there still are some people out there that do that. But I think most people understand now that antibiotics are not the way to go. The right. antibiotics are part of the reason we have all these super bugs and everything today. So yes. that's number three, antibiotics. And then number four, and this is, you know, this is a challenge. This is one that challenges a lot of people. Thank God for COVID, because now we can actually have this conversation
right.
where before, if you ever brought this up, you know, it was taboo,
right.
but at least now there are a large number of people, whether or not they thought they believed in vaccines right. or generally accepted that all vaccines were safe.
Right.
At least now we know that not all vaccines are safe. This right. one particular was rushed to market, and we know that there are issues with it. There are big warnings with it. We're seeing clotting issues and all this. So now I think it's opened the door to say, well, then are all vaccines safe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. They're FDA approved. They're pushed and marketed by the CDC.
Right.
But are there things in those vaccines that could interfere with your child's health? And the answer to that is absolutely.
Yes, a resounding yes to that.
Vaccines contain things like aluminum compounds.
Right.
They contain things like embryos that we grow the medium that we're growing the bacteria, et cetera, on come from embryos of other animals or right. even humans.
Right.
And so we're growing it on other animals' tissue and then putting this other animal's tissue into our bloodstream.
Right.
There are potentially antibiotics in some of these. Right. Erythromycin is one that gets frequently included into vaccines.
Yeah.
And so like if your kid is chronically sick, and particularly if your child has allergies, do they have an egg allergy? Well, maybe it's because of the chick embryo that was used and that protein ended up in their bloodstream, and now they developed an allergy to that.
Right. Do they have oils, a peanut allergy?
Yeah. Peanut yep. oils were used and still might be. I don't study vaccines, but I do know how this stuff happens.
Right. Right.
That there were peanut oil was used as a substrate in vaccines for a long time. And so these tree allergies, you have to look at the list of chemicals and go, is there a possibility that this is part of the reason why my kid's sick all the time is because they've had 18 or 20 or 36 vaccines by right. their age already.
Right.
And a lot of parents may not be familiar with the vaccine schedule. You go in and the doctor's like, hey, we're going to give them our shots, and it's one or two shots. But the reality is that one shot may, like an MMR, for instance, that's three different vaccines in one shot.
Right.
You're
right.
actually vaccinating your kid for three different types of, you know, different pathogens in one shot. So by the time a kid's 18 years old, they've been vaccinated with 72 different vaccines.
Right. Right.
And, you know, 40 something doses, but 72 different vaccines. And this can be, and I would argue is, a direct interference to health, that none of this stuff is actually meant to be in your bloodstream.
Right.
And you know, here's the reality is some people, and we're finding this out through epigenetics, is some people are genetically more susceptible to injuries due to their genetic susceptibility to not detoxing well.
Right.
Can we detox from some of these compounds? Sure.
Sure.
Some of them.
Sure.
But part of the reason that they're removing, and like, listen to this, the FDA knows it. Part of the reason that they're removing mercury from a lot of the vaccines
right,
is because
right.
they know that the mercury was a problem.
Right.
I mean, they're talking about it like, well, mercury is no longer included in vaccines. That's not necessarily true. Thimerosal is still in some vaccines.
Right.
It's been removed from a lot of them. Why are they removing it? Because they know it's causing injury.
Right.
There's
right.
billions paid out to vaccine injuries. So this is not a debatable topic of if they cause injury.
Right.
It's a debatable, it's how much injury do they cause? And
right.
you know, on the other side of the CDC, they have to worry about like, does the risk outweigh the benefit. And right. for my child, I would say there's never a point at which I want to put my child at risk for developing an injury.
Right.
And so, you know, we make our personal choices. And here, and you may make different choices, but the big thing is, have you thought about it?
Right.
Have you thought about this could be part of the reason why your child is sick all the time?
Right.
The very thing we're doing, being told it's protecting them, that we might see more. And there's studies out there. You can look. There are studies that show that the children who are most heavily vaccinated actually have more chronic illness than children who aren't.
Right.
Now, these may not be the studies that the CDC wants to spout off, but there are studies out there that show that these children have more chronic illness.
So we've talked about what causes, right? Like, what are the things, what are the interferences?
Those are the four interferences,
the big interferences that we have. So now we talk about shifting that mindset, showing that, listen, our kids are healthy, but maybe it's just our lifestyle that isn't healthy, that hasn't been building health in them. So then what do you do? What do you do to build health within your children?
Yeah. So the answer lies within what we call the five essentials. The five essentials are the answer. So number one, it starts with a shift in mindset. The mindset always has to come first. It has to be one of, we're going to work on the cause of this, not just the condition.
Yes.
We can't just treat the condition with antibiotics. We can't just keep treating the condition with an inhaler.
Yes.
We can't just keep treating the condition with NyQuil.
Yep.
We're going to get to the cause. So first is a mindset shift. Number two, we got to be proactive, not reactive.
Yes.
So we got to get ahead of this.
Right.
So the mindset has to change first. As a parent with a child and you're unhappy with your child's, you know, current state of health, then it's going to take a mindset shift first. Number two, I would say the easiest one, the easiest thing you could change right now is start eating real food.
Yes.
And stop eating chemicals.
Right.
Now, this might be a challenge.
Right.
You know, if your kid is, some kids are literally addicted to poor nutrition. You know, out of our three kids, we have one who's more of a challenge than the other two.
Right.
We have one that just, he just is more challenging with this.
Right. Start with one real food meal a day. If they're getting none, start with one.
Yeah.
And then add two, mm-hmm. and then add three, and then all of a sudden.
And then make lateral moves. Like if they're eating traditional cereals, let's switch and at least move to organic.
Right.
There's a great video where they showed families who switched to organic. They measured the urine and they measured all the toxins in the urine.
Right.
And then they switched to organic and they only did it for like 2 weeks. And then they measured the urine again and they couldn't find any of those toxins in the urine. It went to almost none.
It's amazing.
So one of the big things is shift to organic.
Right.
You know, it's not that expensive. Like, you know what's expensive? Drive-thrus. You know what's expensive? Chick-fil-A is expensive.
Right.
You know, people talk about how they do that for convenience, but it comes with a cost, and part of the cost is sickness, but the other part of the cost is like you can't go through a Chick-fil-A drive-thru and get your kid a meal and not spend $12. Like, you can't do it.
I don't know because I haven't been through
one. I have a patient who owns a Chick-fil-A, so I know this for a fact. But organic food isn't that expensive. Vegetables aren't expensive.
Right.
Most meat products aren't expensive, you know, per ounce. If you look at this, eggs, for instance, eggs, even if you're paying $7 for a dozen eggs, that's still 50 cents an egg. That's pretty cheap.
Right. You can have two eggs for breakfast and
for
a buck. Right.
Right.
So exactly.
When people will say, well, organic's expensive, it's just simply not true. Inorganic is far more expensive if it's leading you down the direction to sickness. So
absolutely.
I think food is the number one shift you make immediately. If you have a kid in your family who's like really addicted, maybe this isn't the move for you. Maybe the move is working on the personal care products and getting rid of some of the toxicity and trying to clear out some of that. But
I think the next big piece of it though, and I would argue, you know, like it might even be the first biggest piece. Food might be the easiest, but this one is going to require a little bit more action, but getting into a Max Living office and getting your child adjusted.
Yeah. And, you know, and I guess part of the assumption was, I figure we're talking largely to a lot of Max Living families too.
Absolutely.
And I forget there are a lot of people listening that maybe this podcast was sent over to you from a friend of yours who's in a Max Living office.
Right.
And maybe they're like, hey, they've heard you talk about your kids being sick all the time, or maybe they just see it and maybe they're sharing this with you because they want different for your family.
Absolutely.
But chiropractic kids have significantly less chronic illness.
Yep.
if you go back in this podcast, we did an episode on children several months back, several episodes back, where we talked about the actual data on what percentage less of chronic illness they had.
Right.
And it's astounding. Why is this? Because from birth all the way through childhood, life happens.
Yes.
Life happens. Even right at birth, there are times where, you know, kids aren't born sometimes gracefully. They don't just like come sliding out and are caught by the midwife wearing velvet gloves.
Right.
Sometimes they're actually pulled out. Sometimes they're pulled out by their head. C-sections can be the worst because they're being pulled out in a direction opposite of what they're trying to go.
Right.
And they use, doctors sometimes use up to 100 pounds of force to pull them out. Right. And that's enough to stretch the neck almost twice its normal length.
Oh my gosh.
There are injuries that happen in birth. And we see this because if you've ever seen the child who is wearing the little helmet.
Yeah.
For the spot on their head starts to become misshapen. A lot of times that's because they can't turn their head.
Right.
And so they're laying on one spot so much that their bones of their head, when they're still soft, actually start to flatten out. And they put them in that helmet to reshape that. But they never talk about the fact that it's most likely a neck injury.
Right.
And, you know, this was my issue as a kid is I was very sick from 0 to 8 years old. I had chronic ear infections, chronic tonsillitis. I constantly was getting sick. I had skin allergies. I was on antibiotics all the time. And the antibiotics didn't help and the vaccines didn't help. And we were eating food that wasn't the healthiest in the world. But the shift happened for me when my mom and dad brought us into a chiropractor who educated my mom and dad on the process of subluxation and how it probably happened at birth. And my brother and I started getting adjusted and our health completely turned around.
Right.
Turned around. We started healing better. And what's interesting is back then we weren't eating great yet.
Right.
You know, so then my mom and dad started to make shifts and that became a catalyst for, all right, now we're going to eat differently. And they stopped. They didn't really have a need to use antibiotics anymore, but my mom had, instead of running to the doctor and getting an antibiotic anytime we were sick, we went to the chiropractor and got adjusted.
Right.
Because it was about removing interference. That
My
mom wasn't like, I need to go treat this illness. She had been reeducated this new mindset of, no, we just need to remove more interference.
Yes. That's it. That's it. That's the whole thing. Remove the interference.
Remove more interference. Your child is not feeling well. Let's remove more interference. Go get them adjusted. Remove interference. Have them drink water. Don't put any liquids in the body other than water because we're trying to remove interference. Sugar is an interference. Colors are an interference. Food. Let's feed them basically fruits, vegetables, and meat until they, you know, start exhibiting signs of health. Why? Because anything else is an interference.
Yes. Sunshine. Get your kid outside. Get your kid outdoors in the sunshine. Even if it's the dead of winter and there's 2 feet of snow outside, go outside and get inside. The sunlight still peeks through.
Well, and here's why too. Number one, vitamin D.
Right.
Most people aren't deficient in vitamin D. They're deficient in a lifestyle that includes sunlight because that's how we manufacture vitamin D in our bodies. But number two, our inside environments of our house are literally 100 times more toxic than outside.
Yes.
So even if there's pollution outside, there's more off-gassing from our carpet, from paints, from chemicals we use in our house, all this. Our internal environments are 100 times more toxic. There are literally billions of plants outdoors that are recycling the air for you. So getting outside and breathing in clean, fresh air. So,
and listen, here's one of the final things that I would say on this topic is that we had a wonderful patient show us the schedule of what their kids are doing. Homeschool mom, doing great, has the day blocked out in 30-minute increments. Lovely woman, great kids, looked at the schedule, saw it. And from morning when they opened their eyes until nighttime when they shut their eyes, there was no play, none. And these are kids.
Yeah.
Scheduled to the max. A big, big shift in the childhood environment is leave yourself time for play.
Yeah. Because one of the bigger interferences is chronic stress.
Children
nowadays, we've talked about this before. They say that children with their schedules and, you know, gymnastics and homeschooling and, you know, everything that they're doing, taekwondo, basketball, et cetera, that they're under a schedule and a stress load that would put somebody back in the 1940s into a loony bin, you know, that would put you into an asylum. That's the level of stress that children are under. And we can see it. They're under social stress, et cetera, but sometimes it's just their schedules. So again, remove the interference. our goal is through our food, through our products in our house, through our medical choices,
right,
that we remove interference. And then number two, our goal is that we then support the body through our food, through our lifestyle, getting outside, getting adjusted, you know, that we really look at how can we support healing. And mark my words, it doesn't take long.
Right.
30 days, 90 days.
Right.
Maybe 6 months, your kid's health could be entirely different. How do we know this? Because we see it all the time in Max Living offices.
Absolutely.
This was a great episode. We look forward to joining you guys next week. Until then, this has been the Max Living Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.